Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
How sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm John Doherty.
And this is Back Talk. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm John Doherty.
And this is It's Movie Time. Now, John.
Yes, John.
Couple of things. What do you do? I mean, what is your official capacity?
Well, I think my capacity is not very much, but my title is I am the director of Film Columbus and film commissioner for Columbus and the Central Ohio area.
Okay. So we have a film today called Motor City.
Yes.
Now, unless you had pointed that out to me, I might have missed it.
Oh.
I might have missed one of the best thrillers I've ever seen. So I'm now wondering, John, what's your connection to this?
Great question. So Motor City was produced by a company called Stampede Ventures. One of the producers at Stampede is a woman named Elizabeth Bell from Bexley, Ohio.
Oh.
And several years ago, her partner, Eric Parmeter, also from Columbus, Ohio, started a nonprofit called Gateway Entertainment. No relation to Gateway Film Center here in Columbus. Gateway Entertainment is out of, said a nonprofit, it's out of California. And its original mission was to provide training for below-the-line crew members on sets of movies, TV shows, etc. When they first started working with TV shows, they were working with Taylor Sheridan on Yellowstone, worked with him on the movie Wind River, which I'm sure you know that movie, which is a fantastic movie, and several other Taylor Sheridan projects. Stampede was producing Motor City to receive the full tax incentive. This movie was shot in New Jersey in 2024. They were required to train some folks on set, younger college students, things like that. So Stampede knew Gateway Entertainment, knew that we were training people on set. I forgot to mention, I'm on the board of Gateway Entertainment. Okay. That's the connection.
Okay. Then.
Stampede asked Gateway to come and train some college students on the set of Motor City in New Jersey. Again, filmed in New Jersey, takes place in 1970s Detroit.
And so one of your jobs as film commissioner is to attract film companies to Ohio. Apparently, New Jersey was more attractive to the people who were making this movie.
It kind of sounds like it. I'm sure they got a little more bang for their buck in New Jersey than
like
they
I always
in Ohio.
See that Georgia Peach.
Yeah.
Say to myself, what the heck? What kind of a break are they getting these movies? Because they get a few.
They're getting incentives.
But we're getting up there.
Yeah, we are. Right. We are. You'll notice there's some wrapped two feature films earlier this year that shot at the same time. And then we'll.
Here we have Motor City.
Yeah.
All right. And this stars that dude who does the Jack Reacher, right?
Yeah. Yep. Alan Richson.
Alan Richson. What a refrigerator-sized guy.
He's a big dude.
I think he comports himself very well.
I don't want to give too much away because you have to go see it. Again, it's set in 1970s Detroit. It's a revenge thriller movie. Alan's character is framed. He tries to get revenge on Ben Foster, who framed
him. Good to see him back.
Ben was great in this movie.
A little over the top.
Yeah. Everybody was great in this movie. Now, the thing about this movie, too, it's non-traditional in that there's only like four or five lines of dialogue in the whole movie.
I know.
What I wanted to ask you, John, was did you realize this going into the movie?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And
so I was prepared for that.
And it takes maybe, what, 10 or 15 minutes to get used to it? It's very interesting. But once you do, it really moves.
John, I could have gone through the whole thing and not known because I get sucked into movies. No kidding, John. Yeah, what have I been doing for decades? So that I'll bet you I might not have been aware the music is so good. And these are needle drops from the 70s.
Yeah, they're great. It was curated by Jack White from the White Stripes, who is also from Detroit. And you're so right. When we screened it this last week at Gateway Film Center, myself and Liz, the producer, and Eric, who we've all seen it multiple times before, we're sitting there watching it. We thought we were just going to hop out to the bar while it was playing, you know, and just hang out and wait for it to be over and do our Q&A afterwards. But we sat down and started watching it, and none of us got up and left because even though we've seen it three times, four times, we still got sucked in. Yeah. And Liz leaned over at one point and said, "This movie seems to get better every time I see it." Yeah, so, yeah. But getting sucked in, I get it.
And I think it's a great teaching film for film students, as they would realize the importance of the background music. And in this case, it's a little overdone.
Yeah.
Okay, John, a little too many popular, but that's I loved it. So I have no complaints, except that after a while, you say to yourself, my God, another pop tune?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. But it does teach you how important music can be to setting mood. In this case, the music virtually tells you what's happening in the plot. To me, it was very instructive, and what I said somewhat facetiously that I wouldn't have known there was dialogue. Very possible to say that just because I'm so intrigued by or I'm so seduced by that music, by the ability. And here, John, you know, I mean, how many times we've talked about movies like this, but how it's a visual medium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a word guy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I have a PhD in English.
Yeah.
You think I don't like the words in a movie? Yeah. You bet I do. I live for it.
Yeah.
In this case, no requirement.
Yeah.
Because it was so successful.
It's a lot of fun. There's some great scenes in it, obviously. But you do. You forget that dialogue isn't there 10, 15 minutes into the movie. It's pretty nonstop from the beginning, as you remember seeing it the other day.
Well, everybody remembers that in some movies way back in the 60s, in the 70s, Easy Rider.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that was Born to Be Wild. And that was one of the first times when you had background music that was from a pop tune, setting mood and giving you information as to what was going on. I guess the most famous one, John, is 1955. You were barely a babe at that time.
Oh, geez.
I mean, but I was up and running in 55, and I very much enjoyed Rock Around the Clock or whatever it was, which was over the credits of The Blackboard Jungle in 1955.
Wow.
And for your information, that may have been the first one. And you'd think yourself, well, Jesus, it's always been around. Well, remember, we had silent movies, so we didn't have any. And it took them a while to figure out that they could put music in.
Create mood. You know, it's funny. I come from the production world. And years ago, when we were doing videos for clients and industrial videos, we'd ask them what kind of music they want in their video. And they'd be like, oh, just whatever. And we're like, no. Mm-hmm. And then you play them two scenes of the same thing with different music and be like, see how the mood can change with
nice.
Type of, so it means a lot. And to your point about teaching students, this is a great teaching movie. And I think this movie will last on. And I think it'll be a cult classic at some point.
It will. So we talked about Alan there, our lead. Certainly carries, so to speak, the load of the movie.
as noticed in scene number one.
Oh, how about the elevator scene?
Oh, that's...
John, that's a tour de force.
That is by far probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, fight scenes I've ever seen.
You know, you have to spill some beans here, but I love the fact that they severed his leg. I mean, this is really gruesome, but it's good stuff.
And the gasps that you hear in the audience, and everybody's just like, oh, and, you know, and like, yeah, you know, it's you do. You hear cheers during this movie, and it's exciting.
Well, I tell you, a moment where I was just exultant about that music was Moody Blues doing Nights in White Satin.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
It could go on and on.
Hell yeah.
And then the way that they mixed the music and remixed it a little bit to fit the scene, obviously when... he's going to get arrested at some point, and the music that's used during that scene is really just like, it gives you goosebumps when you watch
it. Oh, yeah. And Ben Foster.
Yeah.
I don't know, his makeup was a little excessive, John, I thought. I mean, or a little too much gold chainy.
Yeah, well, he's a 70s drug dealer.
I know.
Of course he's going to be.
It's really true. Our lead character, Alan, there, his wig is just awful. But it's what it should be, right? He's not going through a good time.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it's rough there in prison for him.
The big catch for me was Shailene Woodley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
When I first heard that she was in that, I was like, wow. So that is a big catch for sure. She was great in it. Again, everybody was really good in it. And, you know, I'd love to talk to an actor about acting in a movie that doesn't have dialogue. And is that more pressure on you and your acting? And how does that work? So
for those who go to school to study acting. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, Actor's Studio and all that business. This is a really good piece to help to exemplify how much more there is than dialogue.
Yeah.
All right, John Daugherty. Before, what do you advise your audience? Just generally speaking, you're telling somebody, what would you say? How would you promote this?
I would say it's probably one of the most underrated revenge thrillers that you can imagine. You're going to have a good time when you go see it. It is. It's a fantastic time, especially going to see it with friends and a crowd. So highly recommend seeing
that. They use the word stylized.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a good style, very stylish movie.
Very much so.
So it's to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
You might say, well, there's a lot of violence. Well, there is, but that's part of what it is.
For sure. I mean,
this is a violent world.
Yeah.
And these are very bad boys.
Yeah.
And a bad lady
playing
her best to Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Kamish, we are talking about a film that both you and I are high on, and not just because we're related in one way or the other to the motion picture industry, but because there have been so many revenge films.
Yeah.
Got a list of them, and we'll go through some of them just to see how it sets up against them. But as I was in the rush of having seen this movie and walking out, I was telling Wayne Miller, I said, this has got to be one of the best thrillers I've ever seen. And is it just because John and I are going to be doing the show or or because I like Shailene Woodley?
Uh-huh.
No, it's because I loved the needle drop music.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the fact that it wasn't self-conscious at all.
Yeah.
And the fact that every trope there ever was is in this film, but it's done with class, would you say?
Absolutely. It's exciting. I was on set during some of the filming. It was exciting to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the movie itself, you have to see it. If you're listening, take some friends and go see it,
because
it's pretty intense.
Locally, it's playing. I saw it at Lenox.
Yeah.
It must be at Gateway.
Yeah, it's at the Film Center.
Yeah, so see it while you can. All right, John.
Yeah.
So I want to look at some revenge films, just as an idea. Everybody thinks they're so smart because they'll immediately say John Wick.
Yeah.
Now, that's just because it's a John. No.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we like the name John.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But John Wick. So how do you, John Wick and...
I love revenge thrillers.
Yeah.
And I don't want to change the subject from John Wick, but what always comes to mind for me is Equalizer.
Oh, God, good.
With Denzel.
Oh, and nobody better. I went to the Amalfi Coast.
Oh.
Because they had set their location there and said, this is a place I've been all around Italy.
Yeah.
Flirting a little bit, doing his stuff, and some very bad boys.
Yeah,
I said, yeah. So that's a good one.
Yeah, but John Wick, you know, I'm not a big fan of those movies for some reason. I don't know, but Equalizer comes to mind. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention. Do you think Die Hard is a revenge movie?
That's a great question.
Is one of the producers of Die Hard? Michael Tadros was a producer on Motor City. Do you remember the scene in Motor City when he's dragging himself like by the light of, I forget what it was, and it was like, that's Die Hard. That's John in Die Hard dragging himself through the anyway.
Die Hard was so much more,
it
seems to me, than just revenge.
Yeah.
One that I thought of right away because of Shailene Woodley.
Yeah.
Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kill Bill's it's a great revenge.
And you do have
Uma
your
Thurman and she's
your blonde femme fatale.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
Yeah, so I kind of thought she was channeling her in that one.
That would be a good question for Shailene. Is, you know, what was kind of your inspiration?
Well, how could she avoid it? Yeah, yeah. I guess you just embrace it, right?
Yeah,
pick your slinkiest outfit. But Jennifer Lawrence has no problem stripping down to the nothing, which she has done. I love her for that.
Yeah.
She's absolutely no inhibitions. One that, John, still strikes fear in my heart.
Yeah.
Cape Fear.
Oh, oh gosh. The original or the remake? You got, or,
no, who's better than Mitchum? I don't care.
Who yeah. Man, I love that. And I've seen the original once.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the remake with Robert De Niro, right?
Right.
Multiple times. And then now there's the remake that's on Apple TV, the series with...
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've watched the first episode of that, and that's really good. But yeah, Cape Fear, ooh, good. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. And it's very title broadcast to you,
yeah.
What you're in for.
Yeah.
And what I like about Cape Fear is it's very localized in the sense it's that family.
Yeah.
It's him. There's very little in between.
Yeah.
What's going to eventually happen. And I like that because you think, well, get a big set with a whole lot of extras and so on, and we'll really... No.
Put him on a boat.
God, yes.
Put a family of four on a boat and see what happens.
That's right. Yeah, you just confine it as much as you can.
And yeah.
It does. You're so right. We're talking about the audio here, but look at the visual on something like that.
Yeah.
Where you have just a very narrow local.
And, you know, that brings up, too, and we teach this. We have a screenwriting class workshop for kids every spring or every winter and spring. We teach this to kids, talking about keeping it localized. That helps on budgets, you know, when you mentioned,
great
hey, let's
point.
Do this big set,
yeah,
and then
great
it,
point.
That costs a lot of money. Hey, let's localize it to one room, one house with four people. Then you're saving money on a budget, and it adds that tension.
And John, you reminding me of one of my favorites, Straw Dogs. It's a home invasion.
Yeah.
You got a couple of bad guys
yeah.
who are invading on the yeah. family, and he has to, dad... Usually a milk toast.
Yeah.
Has to come to the floor, which is better than anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In a subway car.
Mm, yeah.
They rip out the pole.
Yeah. yeah. Lots of resources
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, right. One of the more sophisticated revenge films or revenge pieces will be Hamlet.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I mean, going way back.
Have you seen Hamnet?
You know...
John, don't. Let's go, move on.
Okay.
I don't want to even hear
okay.
that you have not seen.
I've seen it.
The final scene at the Globe Theater
yeah.
is one of the best I've ever seen in a film.
Really?
To our point.
Okay.
No dialogue.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a great point.
Yeah. And so the camera sets right on her.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even move.
Yeah.
As she realizes that she married perhaps the greatest writer who ever lived.
Yeah, yeah.
And so as it watches, wow. and she won the Oscar, mm-hmm. and just see her face change as she realizes not only how he integrated the death of his son, Hamnet,
yeah.
but that, in fact, what he's been doing, and he goes from Stratford to London.
Yeah.
And he can't come back like the next day.
Yeah.
Riding horseback.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
So she's missing him. Right? It's not like he wants to be away, but she's the one who sent him to London because he's obviously got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thinking about it as revenge okay. and yeah. how much difficulty
Hamlet
had. John, there are others because we do have the simplified stuff with
yeah.
the Taken movies with Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I don't think I've watched any of those, to be quite honest.
Don't rush.
Okay.
Everybody remembers the final scene, I think, in this one.
Uh-huh.
Carrie.
Oh, gosh. Of course.
John, is that...
The dumping of the pig blood.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I mean, I love that.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be probably one of the most iconic final scenes of a movie of all time, right?
I think so. I mean, yep. I knew right away that you would know what I was talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
I've had, again, more sophisticated... In The Godfather, there's some stuff there.
Of course.
Yeah, of course it's, there is. It's built in. One of the great revenge-themed movie series would have to be The Death Wish with Charles Bronson.
Oh, gosh. It's 70s, right?
Yeah, early
70s?
Yeah, very,
early,
very early stuff.
Yeah. Charles Bronson, wasn't that all he did was revenge?
Of course. He did The Magnificent Seven, which endeared me to him.
Yeah.
But then he got onto this, and that's all. And you're so right.
Yeah.
And but give you an idea of, I think, how sophisticated... This one, our Motor City is,
yeah.
compared with the kind of linear, simplistic,
yeah.
just going to get him
yeah.
guy, and we're all sitting there just hoping
yeah.
that something's going to happen. And then I think less so True Grit.
Of course.
Yeah.
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 Well, the original and then the remake. Was it Jeff Bridges who was in the remake?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But the original was great. you know, John Wayne. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Just, yeah. John, the movie that we are featuring today called Motor City, and which you have some connection to, and which I am, regardless of you, saying this is one of the best thrillers you will ever see, is out there. John, is there a weakness in the film for you?
Wow, that's quite a question. I, off the top of my head, I'm like, now I'm going through it from beginning to end. I don't think so.
No, and I agree, except that I do have something to offer.
You mentioned
this.
The wig, so maybe that's the one weakness.
Oh, yeah, there's some sloppiness here, but that's just fine. I think it endears me to it when all the tropes, unless you accept them, because you're sitting there saying, I don't need any dialogue. I know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah.
Every point. But there, I think, is the genius of the film.
Yeah.
Is that you're not walking out saying, I've seen this all before, because even though you've seen it before, if you're into it, it works for you.
You know, and it's like, I feel like any good movie, and correct me if I'm wrong, this would be probably a whole nother discussion. Any good movie, you can kind of predict what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You're like, okay, I see where this is going.
Oh, you're so right.
But then the way it's told and the way it's like presented is a whole different world.
Well, John, look, you're reminding me. One of the motifs of this film is the engagement ring.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying not to give too much away. When you see that first scene and he shoots the shotgun and you see the ring come at you within the first couple minutes, you're like, what's that about?
I know. However, since you and I have been going to movies for a long time, we know that, like the gun that you see originally, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
So we're not giving anything away when we say that engagement ring, and particularly in slow-mo.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful. And the number of times that it recurs, ingenious.
Yeah.
It's one of the things they do so that I'm not disgusted by saying, Jesus, will they get off this engagement ring?
Yeah.
I think, no, it really works well.
Yeah, it's good.
When that ring is delivered to him. Nice. Nice, nice. Nice touch.
By Mr. Ben Foster.
John Doherty, you are the film commissioner for Central Ohio. You direct Film Columbus?
Yeah. I'm the director of Film Columbus, and we provide resources to directors and producers and try and get them to come here and make their movies. And we work on state incentives, and we have the first and only local incentive in Ohio. So we're really, we're growing, and we're staying busy.
And in case you don't believe, John, that he's just promoting this, look at his roommate. She's a producer, isn't she, of sorts?
Yes.
And she is just one of the most delightful women you will ever meet. And this increased my appreciation of John, because now and then I get down on him because I don't hear from him and I know he's so busy and so on. But then I see his roommate with two adorable kids. I think there are at least two of them, right?
Yep.
Two Kate kids. And Yuna. And I say, John, you are a good man, and you are my commissioner, and the movie is Motor City. And believe me, if you don't know that John and I are very hot on this film for different reasons, at least take my word for it. I have no skin in that game other than having the commissioner as my exalted guest.